Welcome to the Coach Marketing Podcast, where every single week you can tune in and listen to the latest and greatest marketing strategies used in the coaching industry so you don't get left behind, so you can get your message out, make a bigger impact, and change more lives with your coaching. Now, who are your hosts? Luke Charlton and Steve Martilli. Holy crap. Steve.
Holy crap. Yeah.
The Coach Marketing Podcast.
Holy crap. I was like, were we starting or what?
We have started. Steve, this is it. We've started. We're not going back. This is the start of the Coach Marketing Podcast. Shall we introduce ourselves?
I love it. It's like,
just oh man, yep. So to the coach listening, this is the Coach Marketing Podcast, and you're in for a wild ride. This is both Steve and I. You might not know who we are at the moment, but you will very shortly. And this is our way of introducing ourselves into the coaching community. We've been around for a while. Maybe we'll tell our story a little bit later in the episode, or maybe some upcoming episodes, Steve, but maybe we should just introduce the Coach Marketing Podcast, what it's about, and get it straight into, you know, what it's about, which is delivering value to our listener. Do you want to start, or should
okay,
I start?
Cool. Yeah. So I don't mind. I mention it. So yeah. So you and I actually, we've been doing this for a little bit. We've been working with coaches, and we had thought, what a better way to share some little gold nuggets, some nuggets that might bring, you know, people profit, might connect with them with something, give them an idea, an insight, a new way of thinking, a new perspective on the marketing portion of their business. Because as you and I both know, Luke, it's like when it comes down to creating a business, it's, you know, a lot of coaches get into the business to get trained as a coach, but they have no marketing training whatsoever. So we thought, there's a huge void in the market right now. There's really no one teaching or doing this on a podcast where you can kind of cue in, ask questions week to week, or even just get pressing answers to, you know, maybe how to set up a website or how to identify your niche or how to like scale up, how to raise your fees. Like there's so many different things that you might be thinking about right now and how to get to the next level in your coaching business, regardless if you're a newbie or if you're an experienced seasoned coach who's maybe doing six figures, 200,000 a year, and you want to go to half a million or to a million, you want answers to those questions. And so we thought, what a great idea. Let's create a resource around that. And you're the technology guy, Luke. So I was like, you asked me and we talked about it. I'm like, well, if I don't have to do any technology, then I will definitely do this podcast.
You bastard. thanks for the, I mean, this at the end of the day, as you just mentioned, Steve, it's about delivering value to the coaching industry and to the coaches. You just said that there's a lot of coaches out there with a lot of questions, and I don't know about you, Steve, I got certified as a coach a few years ago, and the most amount of marketing advice that I got at the end of that certification was choose a niche, and it's like off you go, and they made it seem like, you know, it was just as easy as picking a niche and you're going to earn six figures, when you and I both know that is far from reality once you get it into the real world. So it's a bit of disservice to that some certification organizations do to their you know, who they're certifying, but at the end of the day, you know, they've got to run a business as well. So that their job is to sell certification courses and not do marketing. So that's what we're here for, and that's okay. So as you said there, Steve, you know, this is about answering questions for coaches and helping them move forward and grow their business.
And you know what? This is also for consultants, business owners, speakers, and trainers who want to create a coaching business part-time. So they want to add a full-time revenue to their business by only working part-time, by generating, you know, paying coaching clients using a proven business system and learning about the marketing aspects of it. I think that's who this is for as well.
Okay. Well, before we get into today's episode, because we wanted to really deliver a huge amount of value over the next few, all of our episodes are going to be awesome, but especially in this one to kick it off. So, Habit, before we jump into that, do we just want to tell just a tiny little bit about who we are so they know why they should be listening to us?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. Okay, so I got started as a life coach many years ago. I'm an engineer, actually, by trade. Got into life coaching, was charging $120 a month for coaching clients, and was like, this sucks, and not making it happen at all. And then I got into, I realized that maybe picking a niche wouldn't be such a bad idea. So a lot of pain there, took some action to move towards a, you know, better, creating a better business, and actually got into sales coaching. Had a lot of success with that, and actually got, you know, I had the one client that was just, you know, this was really what turned me on to it, was that we were working together. The first the first month we worked together, he made $15,800, and he'd never made more than $10,000 in his entire life. So he made $15,800, so that was like a big turning point for me. And then 6 months later, or sorry, 12 months later, he was doing double that. He was doing $30,000 a month. And when I knew that I could actually impact people in that way, and then raise my fees, obviously, because there's a value exchange there, I thought, okay, real business for this. So that's kind of my story, where I came from. And, you know, ever since then, it's been such a wild ride. So that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Cool, cool. And for me, so I was, where did I start? I started off I was working full-time 9 to 5 as an IT analyst, but I always kind of knew that wasn't for me. That was more just to pay the bills. And you know, what I was always interested in was health and wellness and fitness. So I became a personal trainer. Didn't really like the life of getting up at, you know, early. I get up early at the moment, but just, you know, where's a personal trainer? Your days are like, you know, 5 till 9 a.m. and then nothing in the middle of the day. And then you've got clients, say, from, you know, 5 again in the afternoon till 9 o'clock at night. It's a bit of a strange, you know, weird life pattern. So that wasn't for me. And then before I realized it wasn't for me, I kind of stumbled onto life coaching at the time I was doing the personal training, and so I went and got my life coaching certification. Was a professional coach, professional certified coach. And I'm living in Canberra at the moment, which is my home city. But back then, I wanted to kind of get out of Canberra because I'd lived here my whole life, and my family's from the UK. So because my dad's from there, I could get my passport, and I decided that London was going to be the place that I was going to move to, and I was going to become a coach. So I was a certified coach by then, and move over as a health and wellness coach. So kind of combined personal training and the life and the coaching side. So coaching for weight loss and fitness on the mental side of things. When I was over in London, I realized that, yeah, I hated that, the health and wellness side of, but what I did love, what I really loved was the marketing side and the business growth side. And then one day, like I was fearful. I remember the night that it happened, I wanted to change to become a business coach, but I was scared because I'd changed so many times previously. I'd done so many different things in university and I was scared that if I changed to be a business coach in 6 months, was I just going to, you know, be unhappy again and not know what the next step was. But I figured, you know, if I was unhappy, then I have to change. And this was the next logical step for me, or the one that made the most sense. So overnight, I just called myself a business coach and started, you know, because the reason why I chose coaches is because I got to know a lot of coaches, and I could see how they were struggling to grow the coaching business. And I'd learned a lot from other mentors growing my health and wellness business. So I just called myself a business coach, took down my website and started coaching coaches, and I haven't looked back. So that's a bit about my story. I was in London for about 12 months, and now I've moved back to Canberra. So I'm loving it back here. So that's about me, and we'll jump into today's episode. What do you reckon, Steve?
Let's do it, man. The secret formula.
Cool, cool. All right. Well, do you want to introduce the secret formula, and then we'll go from there?
You know what? You're probably the better guy because it's more fresh in your mind.
You're such an asshole. Okay. So the secret formula, the secret formula is by a guy named Russell Brunson who came up with this. If you haven't heard of Russell Brunson, go check him out at the end of this episode. I'm a huge admirer of his work. But what I like about this formula is he makes it really simple to identify clients and figure out how to attract them. And maybe what we'll do, Steve, is we'll go over the four steps of the secret formula on how to find and attract and get your dream clients. And maybe we'll deep dive into the first couple of steps and the next episode we'll go into maybe the third and fourth step a little bit deeper around that. So the four steps. Actually, you know what? We'll go one by one. We'll go one by one. So the first step when you know, with growing your coaching business, and this is where this is where I got stuck, and I think you got stuck on this, Steve, as well. And the first step is like,
oh yeah,
who do you want to work with? Who is your dream client? At the end of the day, you know, as coaches, we love helping people, we love serving people, and we just want to help anyone and everyone that puts their hand up and says yes. But you know, in reality, we can't help everyone, and not everyone wants to be helped, and not everyone is going to be really a great, you know, a pleasure to work with. So we really have to take a step back and think about who is that dream client that we want to work with. And you know, I was listening to a podcast that Russell does the other day, actually explaining the step, and he said, you know, where his company really changed was when he took a step back to figure out who is his dream client. And you know, he was working with a lot of opportunity seekers, he said, so people that were just starting in business, but his dream client would be people that are kind of already in business, that you know, with people that are already in business, he can help a lot easier and a lot faster, and they can make bigger you know, bigger leaps. But he was working with people that would drain him, that, you know, he'd be working on really basic stuff like setting up websites and, you know, how to buy a domain, just really simple stuff like that. And it was draining him, and it was hurting his business for it. And that's, I don't know if you can identify with that, Steve, but I can definitely identify that when I've taken on clients that I knew that I shouldn't have taken on. I did it probably for the money at the time. And it has always come back to bite me in the ass. You know, because that client they weren't committed, that they didn't get the results that you wanted them to get. And at the end of the day, that makes you look bad. Not only drains you when you're working with them, but it makes you and your business look bad. It makes you as a coach that looks like you can't get results for your clients. You know, what are your thoughts around that, Steve? I'm interested to know.
Yeah. So Russell's kind of formula is a great blueprint or framework for your business. Mm. And so we're talking about step one, pick your dream client, right? Then the next step is to find out where they hang out, and then we go on from there. But the reason it's so important is because of what you just said. You want to work with people that give you energy as opposed to take it away, right? So, you know, Jim Britt, we were talking about him. You know, he mentioned this earlier. He's like, you're either moving toward or moving away from the direction of your goals. Or in this case, you're either moving towards or away from your goal, your dream. So if you get a client and they take a lot of energy out of you, then they're probably not moving you towards your dream. Because what I've found anyways, and my wife's the same way, is that, you know, we both career people. I worked as an engineer, she worked as a hygienist, and she's gotten into acting in the last year, and she had a freaking huge year, 3 weeks, where she made $7,000 as an actor. That's the most money she's ever made ever. And when she would come home at night, she was working 13-hour days, she'd go for a run. It's like it's midnight, sometimes 1 in the morning. It's, you know, pitch dark, and she's like, I'm going to go for a run. And I'm like, really? And she's like, yeah, I got all this energy. And that's what happens when you work with clients that give you energy, is that you get more energy. You got more energy for other projects. It's just, you're on this high, right? So just to back away from Russell's, you know, his blueprint, this four-step framework, the secret formula. I've got a webinar coming up that we just talked about, and I've kind of broken this down for myself. And what I've found is that three things happen simultaneously when you choose a successful niche. One is you are skilled in the area that you want to help people. Okay. So if you're not skilled in the area that you're helping people right now, then find out where you are skilled. You know, like, for example, if you work with let's say a financial planner or a financial investor, they're always looking for clients. But if you can help them, that then you maybe don't have to get them clients, or you know how to build your network, or there's some other skill where you know that when you connect with people, you can end up with business, then you can be coached for a financial planner, right? Or maybe you kind of know, maybe you were a chiropractor in a previous life and now you want to coach them. That's big business if you want to work specifically with that specific niche. But the point is that you are skilled in one area, not all areas, one area. So for me, when I went from life coaching to sales coaching, I was actually working and doing a lot of business development and sales in my job as an engineer. Mm. So that made me a good person to coach salespeople because I had sales experience. In other words, I was skilled in that area. And I had some other skill sets as well, but that was the one that kind of made me help define the niche. So that's kind of one thing, is that if these three things happen simultaneously when you choose a successful niche, you'll find that, boom, one, you're skilled in that area that you're helping people. Two, it's work that gives you joy. And we kind of talked about that, but it's basically, it gives you energy as opposed to takes it away. And number three, you're serving people where there is a deep-seated need, meaning there is money to spend. So the thing, what I found is that I was doing a couple programs around prosperity, and you know, I was very successful in the job I was in. So I was teaching these prosperity programs where a lot of people teach prosperity, and they're basically use, that's the only money they make. They're broke and they're teaching prosperity. But I was doing very well for myself in the corporate world. So I was like, I'm going to teach prosperity. So I started teaching that online. But what I discovered was, because I wasn't a very good marketer, is that I was attracting people that had no money, or, you know, like I went to Vegas about 6 months ago. And when I was there, amazing. You got to go to Vegas if you haven't been, Luke. And anyone that's listening, you got to go to Vegas. But the point is that not so much for Vegas. I went to the Grand Canyon, which was amazing. Mm. But on the drive there, the 2-hour drive there, all you see are cactuses, desert, and trailers. There is not a lot of money between Vegas, the city, and the Grand Canyon. Mm. There is this like, and you kind of wonder, right? So it kind of was eye-opening for me. But what I realized is that when I was marketing my prosperity program back when I was working full-time, what I found, what I realized now is, it took me some time to realize that I was selling to people who didn't have money. And if you're serving people right now and you're coaching them and you're not getting paid very well, then it's either one of these three things. It's either one, that you're serving people where there is not a deep-seated need, meaning that, and that they have money to spend for, to help you solve that need, to fill that need, okay, i.e. sales training, i.e. chiropractors getting clients, i.e. whatever. Or you're not skilled in the area that you're serving them, or it's not work that gives you joy. So I find if you got skill plus joy plus need nailed down, then, and you can craft marketing around that, then it's really that simple. Obviously you got to be confident as a coach.
Oh, I was going to mention that. Yeah. I think that's the fourth one is confidence as well.
Yeah. So picking your dream client, I think is those are the elements of, you know, picking a really good dream client, so that you're in a niche that's, and that's, I'm just coming from my own experience. You know, now, you know, it's just, this crazy things happen where, right now I get, you know, at least every day I get someone asking to get on the phone with me, which is crazy, which I didn't have before. And I also get, it's weird, but I get clients pay me $375 just to get on the phone with me. And in a lot of cases, these people have never met me in person or even talked to me on the phone, and they're still giving me money to get on the phone with me. So that's what happens when you get into a niche where you get into a place where you pick the successful niche. So those three things. So yeah, I think that's valuable to people listening.
Yeah, I agree. And thank you for, you know, it's awesome that you broke it down on how to choose a dream client. You know, my advice here is there's a reason why this is the first step in the whole framework and everything you do. First of all, you're serving people at the end of the day. Like, you are, they're going to be giving you their hard earned money to help you coach them. So you really have to figure out, you know, what's going to give, you know, what's going to enable someone, what's going to motivate someone to give you their hard-earned money, and getting very clear on that dream client and understanding their psychographic information, so their fears, their frustrations, their desires, is nigh impossible if you try to serve everyone. If you try to serve multiple different markets, your, you know, the psychographic information will be so broad that you won't, you just mentioned there, Steve, you know, the need, what's the need? And that will be almost impossible to figure out if you don't, you know, define specifically your niche or your dream client. So there's a reason why this starts here, this framework of sitting down and figuring out who do I want to serve. And as we go through the rest of the framework, you'll see why this is the first step. So my advice is to you know, name your dream client. You know, who do you want to serve, and what's the name of your the male dream client? What's the name of the female dream client? Get a picture of Google images, paste them up in front of you on your wall wherever your desk is, so you can see. You know, that's who you're serving every day. That's Ian Brody says this, who's I'm a big fan of. He's another great coach if you haven't heard of him. But you define your dream client really, really specifically. So you know their name, where they, you know, their education, what school they went to, what are their specific interests. Now, there may not be a dream client that specific out there, but it's kind of like you're creating a dartboard, right? And your dream client is the red dot right in the middle, and you define them really, really specifically. And when you define it really, really specifically like that, you're gonna get the darts. The clients that you attract will fall in and around pretty close to that red dot, right? They might not land exactly on it, because I mean it's a very, very specific dream client that you've kind of dreamed up, but you will start to attract people around the red dot. If you don't define that red dot, you'll have, you know, 10 different dartboards, and your clients will be all over the place, and you'll be you probably won't even attract that many people, because, you know, your message will be so broad and so bland. So don't get hung up on, oh, well, there's no one out there that's going to be this specific. You know, think about who is that person that you would absolutely love to work with. Sit down, take half the day to think about it, a full day, I recommend. Because, you know, this is who you're going to be serving for the next few years, maybe. And my second bit of advice is, if you find out you start working with this type of person and they don't quite, you know, line up with who you would envisage as a dream client, it's okay for you to change. You can change. If you choose a niche and it's not working for you, it's okay to change. But the point is, pick one and take action from there.
Okay, good advice. You know, one of the things that coach might be thinking now is, okay, you know what? Maybe I do need to pick a niche, and maybe I do need to get a little more focused. However, my clientele is, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, it's not that clear to me. Let me just see. If I commit to a niche, I'll end up selling out or working with people or topics I don't enjoy. Mm-hmm. Or you know what? What I do is so unique, nobody understands it. And if that's what you're saying to yourself, then what I'd suggest is that there are people that, especially if you are working with people that right now you do have paying clients, go out and ask them why they picked you. Because maybe there's a blind spot there. Because once you learn how to articulate and explain the benefits in a language that inspires people to act, you've hit the jackpot. So that would be my suggestion. So yeah, so pick your dream client, step one. And step two, well, we can get that in a minute. Anything else? Any other comments on that, Luke?
Not really. Hey, I just it's a step that everyone knows that they should do. Like, I know that I should sit down and pick a niche, or, you know, pick my dream client, blah blah blah. But it's also one that rarely any coach does, or any business, not just coaches, hey, like business owners in general, whether you're in a retail business or whatever. I see this time and time and time again, that they don't know who they're serving, and it's who you're serving that's going to be giving you money. So it kind of behooves you to sit down and think about who that is, so you can you know, work with these people that inspire you every day.
And when you work with a specific group of people, you make it easy to market. You've just made your, you know, it's what's interesting is, I think now that we're talking about this, is that because most of us, especially if we're not entrepreneurs, you know, from growing up, we come from corporate world. We're grown to, at least I was taught, my dad was a body man and my mom was a basically a receptionist. She was a secretary for her entire career. And they both taught me to work hard. And so that's where I got my work ethic. But I also it took that to the nth degree where you're working 60 hours a week. And I think that because of the programming that I had, it took me so long to realize, because it was so easy. I just need to pick a group of people to work with and then put all my marketing to them. And then it's so much easier. But I was so conditioned that you need to work hard that I never saw the light from the trees to see, realize that there's an easier way. Right. So I don't know. I think it's a programming thing. I think we're conditioned to work hard and not see that there's easier ways to do it. I hope this podcast opens the trees, opens the view, opens the light, and gets that spark for some people, because there is an easier way. So the second step is find out where they hang out. Now, there's a lot of places where these people are. But I remember was speaking to a woman, great woman, who was working with working with parents and with troubled kids. And I said to her, and we spoke for about 90 minutes, and you know, this woman had given me a deposit, got on the phone, she's paying me to speak with me, and then, you know, potentially become a client. We're seeing if we're a good fit. I'm seeing if I'm a good fit for her, and I'm seeing if she's, and she's seeing if she's a good fit for me. And if mm-hmm. and there's a match, then we move ahead and we build a relationship together, a business relationship. Now, the interesting thing is that we get on the phone. I've never worked with a coach, at least in this point. Maybe by the end of the year I will have. But at this point, I had never worked with a coach who was a parenting coach, because I had said to her, I said, I did a bit of research, and I'm like, I cannot find out where these people that are struggling parents hang out that you can coach. Because if I don't know where they hang out, then I don't know how we're going to market to them, because I don't know where they are. And that's a very clear sign that you haven't picked a very clear, concise niche. If you don't know where they hang out, then I can tell you right now that you don't have a niche, because you should know exactly where they hang out. Now, here's a tip that I found, and I've never heard it framed this way, but I was reading a book from Drew Edwards, I think his name is. Mm-hmm. He's a young dude. He coaches coaches. He's from the UK. He's got a great book on LinkedIn that you can get for free. It's like a hardcover book. You just put in your information, and you don't have to even put a deposit or anything. But I read his book, and I always think, if I can read one, get one solid idea of a book, then I'll read a book. So I read the book, and this is the solid idea I got. It was just a way to reframe to think about how to get clients. And it's this: when you join, like for example, on LinkedIn's a great profile or platform for getting clients, right? It doesn't matter even what type. You could be weight loss clients. Mm-hmm. It could be like financial advisors. It could be actual coaches. It could be whatever it is. They are all there. It's crazy. Actually, Luke and I personally know a coach who's helped another coach build a six-figure plus weight loss coaching business. She helps people trim their belly fat. Mm-hmm. That six-figure business on LinkedIn. So my point is that there is a great repertoire of resources and people and your paying clients, premium paying clients, on LinkedIn. So the point is that if you want to go to people, find out where they hang out. And if you don't know where they hang out, then you haven't selected a niche. Now, where do these people hang out? If you go to LinkedIn and you join groups, everyone knows about the groups on LinkedIn. It's like the old forum days. Mm-hmm. And I've been online that long, like 7-8 years now. But the forum days, it was like you got in a forum, there's a big collection, a community of people. These people all talk about similar topics. It could be self-help, whatever. But there's groups on LinkedIn, and they all have the same conversations in the community. The conversations are built around the community. Now, what's interesting is if you look at what coaches do, they do what I used to do, which is they go and join groups with other coaches. But that is not where your target market is. Sure, you can network with them. You actually want to join groups that have your dream clients. That's mm-hmm. the secret. And then you want to contribute to those discussions. And just being in those discussions will help you get a clear picture of the avatar of the picture of your dream client, just because you'll see what they're talking about.
So true.
So just being in the group alone, it does that for you. And as you're in the groups, you build that avatar for your dream client. But you need to go out and join those groups that are not your network, but people that are in your target market's network.
I can tell you a funny story. My girlfriend, she's just left. She's a physiotherapist. She worked full-time for someone else, and she just left that, and she's starting her own business. And I'm helping her kind of, you know, get it started. And one of the things we're putting together is like a consumer awareness guide. So the how to choose a physiotherapist that's right for you kind of thing. So education-based marketing piece of material. So I'm helping her put it together, and I helped her. Like, I created the framework for her, and she was to fill all the parts that she knew about the physiotherapy side of things, her expertise. And what she did, I didn't tell her anything about this, but what she did, she, like, her ideal clients were their dancers, I believe it was. So she went on to, she just, on her own, she looked up Google and looked up dancing forums and just looked at all the dancing forums where the dancers were talking about their injury issues, right? And what she did, she just looked at the comments of people complaining about different injuries that they had and how they, you know, they're, what they were expressing, right, is their frustrations and their fears. You know, they, what happens if I can't, you know, fix this injury and get back to dancing on stage, blah, blah, blah. So what she did, she basically copy and pasted what they were said and put them in the consumer awareness guide, you know, put it in her own words a little bit, but she took what they said almost word for word to use it in a marketing piece. And I looked at her, you know, at the writing. I said, well, what, you know, she goes, oh, I filled this part in with, you know, the introduction and et cetera, with what they were saying on the forums. And I said to her, wow, that, what you just did is a very, you know, it's a really, really savvy way of marketing. I didn't tell her to go to these forums. She just did it all on her own. And I was blown away by that because that's one of the things that, that you and I teach our clients to do. Hey, Steve. So you just go to, you know, once you define that dream client, then you will know where they hang out. So you can go on places like LinkedIn. You can go on other forums. So in the book, Russell Brunson calls them congregations. So if you know what your dream, who your dream client is, you're going to know what their interests are. And then you're going to know where they congregate. And you just go there. And that's where you start to build relationships. One of the things you can also do is create your own congregation. So one of the things that you and I have, Steve, on LinkedIn is our own LinkedIn group. So you have one blogging for coaches. I have one that's business growth for coaches. So you can create your own congregation, or you can create your own following using these community groups. It's kind of like what Seth Godin says in his Tribes book, and I've written my first book on that and how I went about creating the LinkedIn group and other communities on Facebook and Google Communities, etc. So These groups and these congregations and these tribes are a really powerful way to find out where your target market is and learn all about them, their fears, their frustrations, but also a great way for you to go and get clients, which is what we can talk about next. But those are that's the first step the second step is going to where they hang out, the congregations.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful sequence, right? It's a beautiful framework because it's like if you step on the first rung and you get cut short, then you're not going any further. So yeah. It's like go yep. back to step one. Step two, why don't they hang out? I don't know where they hang out. Go back to step one.
Yep.
So it's just like, and you know, and I did that for a while myself. It's like, what is it? What is it? And I didn't want to commit. You don't want to commit to a certain group of people. And you know what's interesting is that if you actually do commit, I'm actually looking at some other trainings, creating some other trainings, and they're outside the current niche that I'm in. But it's not that big a deal because it's like as soon as you kind of like stretch your skin, get out of that comfort zone, it's like, and I'd say it was easy, but you do it the first time. It's like, oh, well, I'm not really certified in this, and I'm not even a certified coach.
No,
And I admit that to most people. I'm just like, I'm not a certified coach. I'm certified in neuro-linguistics programming, but I'm not a certified coach. And I didn't come from that genre. I didn't come from that belief that I needed to be. I was like, no, I'm a good coach. I just believed enough in myself that I was like a good coach. So, but the other part is that like when I go, it's actually, I've got another training that I'm doing and it's the exact same thing. Pick the target market, find out where they hang out. And of course there's going to be like some issues like, well, you know, it's about financial teaching, like how to, you know, create financial freedom, invest your money. It's like, well, you're not an investor. Why should you be teaching that? But if someone hears me talk about that topic for 5 or 10 minutes, they're just like, hey, tell me more. And it's just because I'm so passionate about the topic. So, and that's what we talked about. You know, you pick the way, you know, you're in a successful niche is that it brings you joy, it gives you energy. So yeah. So pick your dream clients, find out where they hang out. And then the next step is to pull them in with a lead magnet or a special offer, free offer.
Yeah. So, Russ, in his framework, he calls it bait. So what bait are you going to use to attract your dream client? And that's what I just said there is really important. What bait are you going to use to attract your dream client, not just any client? And I've fallen into this trap as well of just putting out a free offer. So your lead magnet where they, if you're not sure where the lead magnet is, it's just like, you know, a free report or something that someone gives you in exchange for their contact information. So you've got to be really careful about what that bait is that you put out there, because that beta is going to attract a different type of client. So let's say I put out a free report called How to Attract Your Very First Client for Coaches. So obviously that is going to be a bait that's aimed at new coaches, and that's what will be coming through my funnel, new coaches, if I put that out there into these tribes or congregations. However, yeah, if I change it to something like how do I attract a consistent flow of clients, that's probably going to be aimed at a coach that has already started to get clients but wants to know how to get them more consistently. So maybe a coach earning maybe $50,000 a year or so. And then maybe you had a bait that's not anything to do with that. It's something around, you know, how to scale, or how to create a coaching company, how to start hiring coaching staff. So that's obviously aimed at a coach that's probably already pretty successful and they're looking to train other coaches in their methodologies. So you've got to be really careful about what that bait is that you put out, because that's going to be what is attracting your ideal client. So again, if this is why it's important to start off with that step one, defining your dream client.
Yeah, you talked about the psychographics at the beginning, and those are like the internal cues, the internal dialogues, the internal emotions, beliefs that you're speaking to when you put up a piece of marketing copy, when you put up a web page to collect someone's, you know, squeeze page, an opt-in page, a page basically that you send people from a forum, from LinkedIn, from wherever you send them to this page. You send those, and this is the thing, is that you can't have your business on LinkedIn. You can't have your business on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or anywhere else. You have to put and bring those people to a media you control. Because LinkedIn, Facebook, all those platforms change the rules all the time. And when they change the rules, you don't have control of the platform. You don't have control of your business. So you got to bring them to a platform that you control, which is why you want to bring them to a website where they can opt in, put in their name, put in their email, give you some information in exchange for giving something of value in exchange. You know, and what I teach in Client Rush Formula is, you know, what's the number one question that they have? So if it's a realtor and they're trying to sell, trying to get a bunch of new clients, and they're trying to sell homes in New York State or maybe on the East Coast of New York or even more specific area, then maybe you could write a report that says, or even do a quick video that says, you know, average price of the homes, you know, three bedroom homes in the New York coast, East Coast, whatever state, or New York State or whatever. And you could just say report, because think about it. Someone is buying a new home in that area. What's the first question? How much is my house worth? Is it worth? And what are the other houses selling for? That's the first question that they ask. So if you have the answer to that, boom, you just help them. They're going to give you information. That's what's on their mind. So that's what, you know, Luke was mentioning earlier about the psychographics, the internal dialogue. What are they asking? But really, it's that simple. It's like, what's the question that your prospect has right now? What do they want to know about right now? Dating niche. I want to know where I can find men. I'm a woman, and I want to know where I can find men. Okay, the three top, you know, most, you know, trafficked sites for finding for women to find men. You know, it's like, boom, they go in, and then you're like, awesome, they got some free content. So yeah, so that's the thing, is, you know. The thing is that I find with a lot of seasoned coaches who are not used to the internet is they are not used to giving away so much stuff for free. You have to be generous. I've seen, like, you know, I follow Frank Kern and I follow a couple other guys. These guys are just killing it online, you know, seven figures. And the thing is that they, eight figures even, honestly, I don't even follow anyone else that's like below like eight figures. I only follow those guys because I'm, you know, who are you listening to? And I'm listening to them. And I'm doing things that they do, because, and that's why I was seeing these, you know, we grew the, you, Luke, you grew your freaking LinkedIn group so quick. I grew mine in like 4 months to like 4,000 members. And it was like, holy crap. The first time I did it, it took me 4 years to grow it to 8,000 members. So it's like, you know, fast track that. How do I fast track everything that I'm doing so that I could do it faster? But yeah, like the number one thing is when you're giving away some great information up front, automatically people hold you in good authority. They hold you in good, you're automatically in their good, their good side. Now you can offer them a one-on-one session, but most coaches don't want to put all the work to do that. They're like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to bother with it. That's fine. Maybe you shouldn't be listening to this podcast. You don't want to put in the effort. That's fine. But you should, if you really are committed to this, you have a huge desire and you're really committed to this and you want to see big rewards because it can be a lifestyle business. Then you know that's where you're going
to
start.
Well, and I want to speak to maybe one of the biggest mistakes that I see coaches make when coming up with that the free giveaway, the bait that enables their ideal clients to put their hands up. And that is giving away something that they think their client wants, but they don't really want. So I'll give you an example. One of the things I know that coaches need, especially new coaches and even some more established coaches, is they really want to, you know, they really need to define their dream client or their ideal client, their niche. That's what they need, but that's not what they want, right? They want to find clients. So, you know, where do I find clients? Is the question on their mind? How do I get clients? Where do I find them? So that's the problem or the need that I need to speak to. So I need to create a report called, you know, the top five places online to get clients for dating coaches or whatever my niche is. It can't be something like, you know, how to define your dream client. Here's my free giveaway. Even though that's what I know that they need, I have to create the bait that they really want. And then I educate them on what they need. Well, here are the top, you know, here are the places to find clients, LinkedIn, Facebook. But in order to do that, you need to take a step back and define who your dream client is. So give them the bait. So give them what they want and educate them on what they need.
Yeah. So start. So if we think of the entire process of someone not knowing who you are to someone paying you, let's say, I don't know, $12,000 to $24,000 a year for coaching, to go from not knowing you to paying you that much, it's like dating. You don't go up to someone and say, "Will you marry me?" There's a courting, you build rapport, you know, there's a couple follow-ups, maybe a couple more dates, then you go on a bigger date, maybe you go on a vacation together. That's the thing, is that you can't just go from freaking like, "I don't know you," to like, "Let's get it on." No, that doesn't work for everyone. That doesn't work for everyone. Some people it does. It's weird, right? Some people it does. I'll get people that don't even know me. Boom. They put a deposit. Boom. Let's get on the phone. Now you're a client. Done. That happens. It's very rare. It's very rare. And you don't want your business to be relying on luck. You want it to be provable. Like, I'm an engineer, man. You want it to be proven metrics. You want it to be like, you know how much money you're going to make this year because you know how many clients are coming in, what you can charge per client, how many people you can serve, how much time you want to have off, all that good stuff. So you just want a proven system. So the thing is that if you think about what Luke's saying, is that you come from where they are, that's where you start the conversation. This whole process is a conversation from, you know, beginning, someone doesn't know you, to they're paying you money. So it's the start of the conversation. Well, if you start the conversation where you're coming from, that might not be the conversation that they're having. So you want to start from the conversation that they're having and then teach them to go where they need to go so that they're having the conversation that you have. Is that another way of saying it? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right.
I love that. So that's the step. That's step three, the lead magnet. And then step four is, what's the big dream? What's the big outcome? Because I mean, if you're just in this for the money, then, and you probably aren't, because most coaches aren't, they're in it to make a difference. They love coaching. They love helping people. Yeah, they want some time and money freedom. Yes, that's the same reason why I got into it. But it's more to it than that. You want to make a difference. You want your life to have meaning. You want to be excited. You want to wake up excited. So that means you're a change maker, and it means that you're going to be transforming other people. So you got to think to yourself, what's the big dream? What's the big outcome? A lot of the time that coaches struggle with creating a freebie or a free report or a free video or whatever. Some people say, "Oh, free reports don't work anymore. That's so, like, you know, early 2000s. Are you kidding me? I'm doing it right now. It works. You built a list of 900 coaches in, I don't know how long it took me, but with a report, PDF reports still work. So the thing is that if you think of it from, like, you know, what am I helping people with? And then you're like, "Well, I don't want to give that away because that's kind of like my secret technique." And it's like, you are not thinking big enough. There is more for that person. They're going to be hungry to learn from you. So there's got to be more to it. So if you don't know, if you don't have the skill set I talked about earlier, like those three areas of niche that, you know, the joy, the skill set, and the need, if you don't have the skill set, then go buy the next three or four books on that topic, read them in the next month. Boom, now you're the expert. Now you know what they don't know. And and this is the other thing, you just need to be a little bit ahead of your clients. You don't have to be like some ninja scientist, Bill Nye, the science guy. You just need to be a little bit ahead of, in front of them. If you know just a little bit that they don't know, that's enough. Now, you got to be prepared for them to want to evolve because you're growing and they're growing. So then you want to learn some more. Like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? So, yeah, you're continually growing and learning yourself, but you don't need to, like, know everything. Like, you can read sometimes one or two books and just know just enough that you're dangerous and, you know, that you're actually considered an expert in one topic. I'm not saying everyone that goes out and reads two books is automatic expert, but what I'm saying is if you have a good heart, you have good intentions, and you do have a skill set, at least in one area, then you can definitely make a really profitable business and help the people reach their dreams.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're getting results for your clients that they're paying you for, that's what matters at the end of the day when it comes to your business. So the fourth step was, I don't remember in the book, I've got the book.
What is their big dream outcome?
Yeah. So so it's like, where are you leading the client? So, the way that Russell explains it in the book is where can you serve your client? Oh, how can you serve your client the best? So if you could again, dream up your ideal coaching program, where they're going to be working with you one-on-one for a year, or, you know, how can you serve them at the highest level? That's what the fourth step is all about. Where can you really serve them at the highest level to get them the best results and help them make the best transformation in their life? And that's what you need to come up with, because that's going to be all part of your business and where you're leading your clients, and not all of them are going to be able to get to that level, because at that level, right, they're taking a lot more of your time. You're serving them differently than those, say, that are, you're buying your products or your lower end coaching programs. But the idea is you want to step them up all the way up that value ladder, because for the extra value that you can provide them, then they're going to be able to give you more money in return for it as well. So, you know, where are you leading your dream client? Where can you serve them at the highest level? Maybe you don't want to work with them for one-on-one, you know, for a year or 2 years or 5 years, and that's okay. This is your business, and you decide how you want to run it. But you need to figure out where you're leading that client. And this is actually one of the first things that I learned from one of my earlier mentors is having the end in mind. And that's a Stephen Covey saying as well, you know, starting with the end in mind. So where are you leading your dream client?
Cool. Awesome. So there you go. There you have it. There's the Russell Brunson secret formula. You can actually check that book out on Amazon. It's the secret formula, Russell Brunson. You can buy it online. He's an internet marketer. I think he does over 10 million a year. So he's definitely on my list.
Well, it's funny. He actually does the book for free. He sells it for free plus shipping, which is one of his funnels. So I'd advise you, if you want the book, go check it out on Amazon. Then go over to his website, .com secrets book, it is. And you can get it for free plus shipping. And then you can see how he does his funnel along those lines. But yeah, it's an awesome book. I've read it twice now in about 3 weeks, and I've never done that with a book before, ever. So I'm really, really enjoying it.
Awesome. So there you go. There's episode number one.
And we'll go into this a little bit deeper in the next section. Like in the next episode, what I'd like to do is go a little bit deeper into steps three and steps four. I think that would be really helpful for our listener. And you know, we've got some amazing episodes coming up already lined up for you. So Steve, I don't know about you, but I am really excited for this podcast. I think it's going to be awesome. As you said at the beginning, you know, there's not really any podcasts that serve just coaches. So I think that's, you know, one of the things that makes us unique, and it's going to be awesome.
Yeah, we've got some great special guests coming up, and then we've got some wrapping between Luke and I, but it's going to be a great, great series. So if you have listened to this episode up to now and you really enjoyed it, you've chimed in, you're listening, you're in your car or wherever, when you do get a minute, pull over the road or wherever you are, if you're on your laptop, go to iTunes, leave us a review, let us know what you think. If you think it's crap, let us know. If you think it's awesome, let us know, okay? Both polarities, no good. It's all good. If you have a question about this episode, leave a question. We'll do our best to get back to you and answer it in a future episode.
Awesome. Well, let's wrap that up then. The first episode of the Coach Marketing Podcast done.
Awesome. Awesome.
All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for tuning in to the first episode, and we'll see you next week on the Coach Marketing Podcast. See you then.
Yes! That was another episode of the Coach Marketing Podcast. And if you want to hear more from Luke and Steve, make sure you subscribe via iTunes, leave a review. And if you have another business colleague who you think might benefit from learning the latest and greatest marketing strategies in the coaching industry, please share it with them right now.